Is Charlottesville doing enough to market itself as a regional destination for patrons of the arts? What else can be done to ensure that the visual, performing, and literary arts not only survive, but thrive? Those are just a couple of the questions explored during the second Creative Conversation organized by the Piedmont Council of the Arts. Representatives of various groups were invited to Charlottesville's City Space meeting room on the downtown mall to discuss the topic, Marketing Charlottesville as a Creative Community. I'm Sean Tubbs, founder of the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. For the next 45 minutes, we'll hear selected highlights from the event, which was held on January 13th, 2009.
Which is actually
in. Okay, I think we're going to get started.
BCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer explains the philosophy behind the Creative Conversation series.
In years past, some of you may have known that Piedmont Council of the Arts held roundtable conversations, and they were primarily with the performing arts community. People gathered together once or twice a year to discuss common challenges, potential opportunities to do things better collectively, and I really wanted to bring that back as a regular component of what PCA does, but broaden it outside of the performing arts sector in and of itself, and moreover, outside of the arts community into the community at large.
Participants in the conversation included individual artists who rent space at the McGuffey Art Center. There were officials from the Paramount, the Charlottesville Pavilion, and the John Paul Jones Arena. A trio of representatives from Stanton and Waynesboro arts groups were also on hand to see what they could learn from Charlottesville. After a round of introductions, Maggie Guggenheimer jumped in with the first question.
So I'm going to ask some brave person to jump in for us, and I think we should start at the beginning because that question sort of needs to be answered before we can get any further. And that question is, what is a creative community? How do we define it? How do other people define it? What do you think of when you hear that term? And what does it mean for Charlottesville?
My name is Suzanne DeVels. I'm an independent designer and marketing consultant here in Charlottesville. Jane Fisher and I are working together to frame an education and outreach program for the Charlottesville Community Design Center. Now, the Charlottesville Community Design Center has a very focused mission about the built environment and helping the community understand the value of design in building community. But one of the aspects of the education and outreach program that we want to foster is more collaboration with the arts community, because art gets at the fundamental meaning around the major topics and categories of discussion that we're looking at, and gives us an underpinning of why community exists at all, what its importance is, how we connect to the natural environment, and gives us a mirror on ourselves, reflects back to us what society is talking about, whether good, bad, or ugly, or beautiful. That's what art can do for a community.
I think it's interesting that she brought up the word collaboration. And doing some research before this conversation, I came upon a great article, and it was discussing how Portland is a creative community, and the concept that was reiterated in this article was collaboration and sort of the lack of boundaries between creative types and the rest of the community, and how there's sort of this general commitment to doing things in a creative spirit, and the creative types in the community of Portland are actually a lot of other types too. They're business owners and they're teachers and they're city councilors and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not so distinguishable what is creative and what is not. What is design and what is art? What is a cultural organization and what is an arts organization, et cetera? What is a nonprofit and what is a commercial? So it's interesting to start thinking about not an arts community but a creative community and what that means when you think about it in different terms.
Jim Respis is a renting member of the McGuffey Art Center.
A characteristic of a creative community is that it questions status quo versus reinforcing status quo.
Creative communities can impact a city's economy in a beneficial way. Eric Curran is with the American Shakespeare Center and Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. He referred to urban studies theorist Richard Florida and his work on the creative class.
Richard Florida defines the creative class as not so much your traditional manufacturing managers or manufacturing workers, but people who a lot of people feel like are more suited to a 21st century sort of post-industrial economy. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have financial workers, workers in knowledge industries, but also people like graphic designers, people like interior designers, architects. These seem to be the kind of job categories that a creative community attracts.
Kirby Hutto is the general manager of the Charlottesville Pavilion. He says that it's important to see the role that downtown has played in fostering Charlottesville's creative community.
Somewhere around the mid-90s, we kind of hit that critical mass of venues and arts organizations that just sort of gave that impetus to downtown, creating this whole new identity as an arts and entertainment district. And then you get the restaurants coming in, you get the galleries coming in, and a lot of that economic vitality that a lot of other cities are dying to figure out how to get, we got through that critical mass of venues and entertainment and arts options, all kind of within this core of the old downtown of the city.
Wendy Brown, the founder of the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, said the creation of First Fridays helped forge Charlottesville's artistic identity.
I think that has helped to build those linkages, that sense of a creative community, and expand everyone's understanding of the role of art, because it can be about that gallery space, it can be about that business that's supporting artists by having them on their walls.
However, not everyone was optimistic. Community member Jessica Thayer only moved to the region about a year and a half ago, and she says she's seeing something different.
When I moved here, what I found on the mall and downtown was businesses were saying, we can't afford our space anymore, it's not viable for us to stay. That was before the economic downturn. And here, and yet there's this train that can drop people right in town. And so to bring your 90s story up to the present of people maybe coming here to look at this model, but the model was falling apart and it was no longer working. And I don't know how to bring the thesis up to the present or to the story.
Well, I'm not going to agree with falling apart and no longer working. I think it's the maturation. And, you know, as the economic vitality is there, then you're going to see, you know, that growth sort of continue and change. And some of the folks who needed the low rent space are going to, you know, are going to have to look elsewhere because you get that success. And I think that's where you have to, you know, how do you marshal those market forces to keep from losing what you've developed. But you know, I think that, you know, even with the recession we're looking at for the next year, I still think, you know, once we come out of that and the economy picks back up, Charlottesville still has that core creative community that's down here that'll help, you know, downtown to bounce back quicker than other areas.
Rob Jones is the owner of Migrations Gallery, and he writes a blog about Charlottesville's art community called Art Park. He says that artists are not necessarily motivated to make a lot of money, but through coordination, the community as a whole can benefit.
And we make it successful through our creative thinking, our accessibility, what we do, who we are, and then suddenly the rents come up and people become more interested in, you know, an energetic downtown, and we get Urban Outfitters, we get what other, you know, chains that we're going to get down here, those that can't afford the space. And suddenly, you know, in every other city that I've been in, the artists pick up, go find someplace else. That becomes vital. Mm-hmm. You know, in most cities, wherever they may be, or they hit the fringe and whatever's next. And for us, if we're all moving out to Belmont and making that creative, great. But we've also seen what has happened there in the last 5 years. Where's the next spot in Charlottesville? And as an artist, arts organization, retail, nonprofit, you're always on the move. And people follow you. And I think that's the important for the creativity of a community is, I think it's evident where it's creating where everyone wants to be.
Annie Jacobs is a local artist from Nelson County and a fine arts teacher in the Albemarle County school system.
The basic definition of a creative community is one who not only keeps with some of the traditions, but constantly thinks out of the box, is constantly in motion, thinking out of the box, by that when things downturn, like with the economic downturn we're having right now, and we may possibly and already have lost some artists to the local community, in order to keep them, what can we do not to lose those valuable people in that venue? What can we do to make it more accessible? What can we do to make it more fun? It's a basic need in human nature. What can we do on an elementary level to get more people aware that there's art out here, whatever it means to do, take the local businesses and the art community and blend them together so that there's something that is in constant motion to keep it viable.
Elizabeth Breeden runs the Art in Place program and offers these thoughts on the role that the arts play in our community.
In my program, when I started, I would have voted for roads and education long before arts until I was doing what I do for the 10 years. And now I realize that what I'm doing is giving people the offer of owning their community. And that, to me, is vital because it is multicultural. And I find it's not just a progressive art show that occurs and everybody says, hey, look, this is my town. I've got this thing that's weird, but isn't it cool? I have another step, which is a neighborhood. Get the people in the neighborhood involved in making a mosaic wall. They suddenly say, that is my park, instead of it being a park that is in their neighborhood. So that the arts offer an idea of possession of the place where you live, and that we're not Gary, Indiana. You know, if you put it all to bricks and square and mortar, suddenly it is a desolate place. That instead, when you encourage the arts, you offer the ownership of the town.
PCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer then moved on to the next question.
There are two different ways of looking at this concept, at least in my mind, and there's probably many more than that, but at least two that I'd like to talk about right now are how the residents, and that includes university students who are temporary residents, how people feel here and how they identify their own community in relation to creative people, artists, arts organizations, and also visitors, and how are we distinguished from Gary, Indiana, to people in the rest of the state of Virginia and throughout the country, and how do we work with the resources that are also competitors to the arts, like Monticello and UVA, that seem to come to everyone's mind, and even wine country now before the arts. And we really are all sort of in it for the same thing, which is to bring more life and resources to our community. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, the visitors component, and how Charlottesville exists to everyone else in relation to what we have to offer for the arts.
Rob Jones of Migration Gallery was the first to respond.
Are we considered an arts and culture destination?
No, to get that started. I don't think we are.
Why not?
We are a town of red brick and white columns. We're Thomas Jefferson's home. And from my exposure outside of Charlottesville, through the gallery, people are shocked at the fact that I exist doing what I do in Charlottesville. I mean, it's an eye-opener, and they're pleased to hear it, but they know Charlottesville's a nice place to be. They had no idea that it actually has progressive arts.
Kirby Hutto of the Charlottesville Pavilion emphatically disagreed.
But people are coming. I mean, emphatically, we are an arts destination within our region, and I would say even within the Mid-Atlantic. Maybe not for the progressive visual arts, but certainly for the performance arts. You know, the Paramount, John Paul Jones, and us, we bring people to this community with money in their pockets that are coming here for entertainment.
I'll qualify. Speaking on the visual arts.
But I think that
performing arts are entirely different, and I think are extremely successful here.
But there's got to be a way to link that. You know, if we're bringing several thousand people downtown to see Crosby, Stills, Nash, or whoever the artist is, I mean, that's a demographic that's got money. And, you know, there should be a way to get them out into the community. And, yes, they're going to the restaurants now, but, you know, to tie that into the galleries to help support, you know, all the other entities that are down here. And I think that we're, you know, we do that almost by default on a certain level, but there should be more ways to, you know, to help make that link and to let everyone benefit from that activity.
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in the last even 3 months, especially in the visual arts sector, but in the performing arts sector, I know things like the closing of Satellite Ballroom, while it may be a different issue than the closing of, say, Spruce Creek Gallery in Nellie's Ford, it's interesting to look at how those changes both affect the way local people feel about this place and visitors. And is it our job to try to change that, or is that a natural ebb and flow of the arts sector?
Eric Curran with the American Shakespeare Center and Blackfriars Theater in Stanton.
Well, and I don't know how this is going to help your art galleries, but, you know, coming from Stanton, a town that has UVA and Monticello, to not say it's an arts and cultural destination is hard for me to understand. Mm-hmm. I wonder if people are leaving the cultural part out of it.
Yeah, I felt the same thing.
Yeah.
Sherry Smith is the owner of Lander Creative, and she works with a lot of artists and nonprofits in town. She is also the director of development for the Artisan Center of Virginia in Waynesboro, an organization that's looking to enter into Charlottesville.
I think part of what's going on, too, is a little bit of an identity issue going on. When you're talking about music and you're talking about a venue that can bring in national acts that are well-known and popular, they've got an established identity, and that's going to bring people from Richmond to come see, you know, an act and everything. That's great. We have a lot of talent in this community, local talent, and I think it's very underexposed in terms of its identity. There are some fine artists here, some probably that have more of an international reputation than others, but they're not talked about a lot, and they're not well known a lot, and there aren't always those same type of marketing opportunities for them like there are for a show going to be, you know, hosted at John Paul Jones or at the Paramount. So it's there's a little bit of an identity thing there, where I think if we could boost the talent that we already have existing in this community in such a way to where maybe it connects somewhat with the larger picture and these larger, more attractive acts that are coming into the town, then we can start to elevate that and maybe change what's happening for the visual arts community, literary arts. You know, there are several different communities not even represented here.
Many people remarked that festivals can go a long way towards fostering community. Mary Beth Onger, marketing director of the Paramount Theater, praised the role that the new Look 3 Festival of the Photograph is beginning to play.
It's almost becoming an international thing. I mean, they really have done a great job. So it immediately went
to
the...
We need a lot more of that. Exactly.
Absolutely. For the Paramount, I mean, we really try and work as hard as we can, as closely with the Festival of the Photograph, because we knew the minute we sat down and we met with them, we wanted this to be every year a week-long event, and we envisioned it becoming an international event, and we wanted to do as much as we could, give as much as we could to try and strike a balance, strike a deal, and allow them to use our space to succeed and grow. And that's what I'm really hoping for the whole downtown mall. Hopefully they'll expand, and it will not only be in the Paramount, but in the Jefferson and in the Pavilion and in every venue coming up.
But Kevin McFadden, the associate director of the Virginia Festival of the Book, says a week-long event is not a guaranteed draw for other attractions.
The Festival of the Book, we asked people on our evaluation, did they see another attraction while they were here? Mm-hmm. We don't get a lot of responses, and I think maybe that's what it is. If we're good at bringing people to town for our specific thing, be that music or the festival or whatever it is, are we asking the question of what are they doing next?
Are we telling them what to do next?
Well, exactly, or providing that very... And if we're going to think strategically about how to do that, I know we have, you know, a lot of resources and databases. There's Southern Virginia, and there's the PCA's calendar. There's lots of calendars. But is there an economic development sort of calendar called, you know, Charlottesville, what, or Next Stop, or what's next, that says, what's your next interest? You came for this, but I'm also interested in the arts. I could see this and hit this gallery, or food, or restaurants, or whatever the next, you know, thing that the person wants to do.
David Hopper is the operations manager at the Virginia Film Festival, and he had a question about demographics.
Just throw out there, do we actually, again, I'm quite new to this community, do we actually have any sense about how many people we do actually attract into the town, or how much are we just I say just, but it's a very good thing, recycling and consolidating an audience within the community. We did some pretty basic research on film festival audiences last year, and we found that 75% of our audience was Charlottesville-based and attending other Charlottesville arts events. That's not really a...
70, yeah, usually is.
That's not really a sort of outreach, bringing people into the community thing. And should we be consolidating, or should we be throwing money at trying to pull people from outside?
Chris Engel, Charlottesville's Director of Economic Development, agreed that it would be useful for the arts community to come together to share the demographics of their respective audiences.
But that would be a good thing, I think, for this group to have as information, and for this community to have in furthering the discussion and furthering the progress of the arts here, is to know what we have already. You guys at the Festival of the Book, you do your survey every year. You guys probably do a survey. Kirby knows how many people come downtown. The John Paul Jones Arena knows. You know, everybody knows, but it's not all put together. And that completely leaves out all the visual arts folks in terms of, you know, who they're bringing in and what kind of impact it is. So
I had a conversation with someone that I met through the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, and we were discussing economic impacts of the arts studies, because she has a very extensive background. And she explained to me that there are really two different ways of going about doing these studies. You can crunch the numbers and find out how many people are coming and what they're spending their money on and how that impacts individual organizations. But there's a lot of other sort of connected ways that the arts impact communities that can be studied, such as how are neighborhoods changing, how are businesses' workforces changing, how are the restaurants and other things changing over time based on what happens with neighborhoods. So it can be done in a sort of short and sweet objective way, and then you can look at it in another direction that she highly recommends doing, because it offers a lot more insight and more jumping off points for a community to respond to.
Morgan Mackenzie Perkins is the owner of the Sage Moon Gallery, which has recently closed one location on the downtown mall in exchange for a smaller one down the street.
At the gallery, we really did track, from the time we opened, we really tracked who came into the gallery, who purchased, where they were from, and we had all that put together so that we could view it, look at it. When we started out, our audience at the gallery that came in was probably, I would say, 75% tourist and 25% local. And then as we moved along and became more well-known locally, it shifted to probably 50% local and 50% tourism, with maybe a few thrown in that were international. But I think that what we really saw when we were doing the counting, because we got to where we really counted how many people came into the gallery, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing, how many people will filter through that you don't even, when you look at the numbers, you can't believe that many people came in, but they did. And the thing is, it was a variety. It wasn't, you know, I don't think we're missing these people. What I think we're missing is that idea of referring them to other places, letting them know where else they can go. And I think that if everybody cooperated with that and let them know what's here, because I had customers that would call and say, okay, tell me what's happening in Charlottesville. I want an excuse to come to Charlottesville. And those are the kinds of things that I think we need to do on a more consistent basis. And, you know, as a creative community, we just have to be open, and we have to be ready to, I think, be very fluid and be willing to change. I know we've had to make some really big changes lately, and that's not an easy thing to do, but sometimes we have to change our face in order to be able to create something even bigger and better. And I think that's where we get kind of clogged up in Charlottesville is you know, we keep doing the same things over and over again, and that's not going to work. We need to move on to something different.
George Sampson teaches courses in arts administration at the University of Virginia. He's been in town since 1994.
Came here from Santa Fe, and that might be an answer to the question there. Santa Fe is a town, at least when I left it, is about the same size population. Significant international art, visual art primarily, focus, to which carefully strategized performing arts institutions have been added, I would say, is a way to phrase that. And I think I was not directly involved, but indirectly involved in some of those conversations back in the 70s, because I lived in Mexico for a long time. And there were moments like this when people sat around and began to think in terms of sort of the niches where they were strong, the niches where they needed help, what kinds of things public money could do that private money basically could not do, notably market an entire, you know, community, a whole city, get sort of senior leadership of the public sector behind the notion that this is, this meaning the arts or culture, is a viable avenue for economic development long term. All these kinds of conversations begin to happen, and can lead somewhere very positive if it's looked at strategically and sort of carefully. So when Kirby says something, we know, you know, who he's talking about and what kinds of things they're involved with. When Rob says something, we know something specific there. Elizabeth says something; it's also quite specific to the situation. And each of them, and Kevin, they're all very different strengths. The literary arts here are very strong, but not well. We can't get a handle on them.
You're listening to the Piedmont Council of the Arts Creative Conversation on Marketing Charlottesville as a Creative Community, brought to you by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. After a lunch provided by Harvest Moon Catering, the participants broke up into smaller groups to make recommendations about a specific area. Afterwards, they made reports. Kyle Redinger of Spicy Bear Media and SeaVillain.com spoke for a group that was asked to address how technology can help improve the creative community.
We talked about a local wiki that promotes artists and musicians and things like that, and allows everyone to kind of participate in creating data and information around those artists. We also talked about, you know, from a marketing standpoint, helping both venues and restaurants and any kind of destination that someone would visit, you know, either locally or from out of town, and doing sort of custom guides for Charlottesville for those types of people. So if people are running, you know, going into the pavilion or whatever to see a show, you know, why aren't you promoting at the same time the restaurants and the galleries, or if people are going to JPJ, you know, that's a lot of foot traffic and a lot of people who don't really probably know about restaurants in Charlottesville, and the restaurants could have arts, and kind of putting together those collaborative pieces so that everyone's working together and not competing.
Mary Beth Onger of the Paramount related her organization's philosophy of promoting an experience for patrons.
For us at the Paramount, it is the question of when does your patron experience start. For us, the patron experience does not start when the show starts or when they walk in the door. It starts when they think about, I'm going to buy a ticket to that show, or I'm going to go out, or they're on the website. And so it's really making available your community. So, well, where do you want to eat, and where should you should park, and what you should do before, and what you should do after, and this is also going on in town. And while you're here, oh, did you know that at UVA there's a game, or there's this? I can tell you how many times I've said, oh yeah, not at the pavilion. There's a show too. You know, stay over because BB King is playing tomorrow night. So it's really helping your neighbors with a total patron experience.
Elizabeth Breeden of Art in Place said her group adopted their own topic after looking around the room and seeing a major gap in who was represented around the table.
Okay, we were the group that found ourselves because we were a little bit concerned that this room seems to lack any economic or stereotypical diversity, and that it seems blatant to us, and that when we talk about selling widgets, we don't think about the broader picture of what kind of community do we want, and that community should represent the diversity of the community that we actually live in. So we also talked about that part of the reason that you want to encourage artists to live here is not just because of their product, but also their process. That's a way of living and a way of being, and that it's the process of going out in your garage and eventually being Bill Gates. It is not just the thing that you produce at the end point. And so we noticed that lack. We didn't come up with solutions, but we feel like that should be part of a marketing discussion, should be what do you want your community to taste, look, and feel like, and then how do you acknowledge what's there so that it does taste, look, and feel like.
Jane Norris, entertainment editor for the Daily Progress, was part of the group that was asked to address the question of how to grow the audience for the arts, especially during an economic downturn.
The big thing we were talking about was how to bring people together. If you know you're having, say, a concert by the White Stripes, let the galleries know and they can have a white sale where your canvas is 10% off if it's got white in it. Just something like that. That just think about when you're planning an event, how can other people join in with me? Because it could end up that the other person might be able to help put on a reception or something. You might be able to pool some resources and you could get more exposure for everybody. And it would be nice to have the hospitality industry involved in this, because if people come to town for business as well as for entertainment, they may have a spouse coming along who might want to come to a gallery. And if we work on communication, you could have resources available at the front desk of a hotel where you could see a list of galleries, you could see a list of venues and say, yeah, let's stay overnight and we get to see the other performance. And maybe getting some of the transportation companies involved, people who do limo services and things like that. If you've come in from out of town on the train, you could get a ride to First Fridays, because you're thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to rent a car and try to find my way in a strange town, but if there's a limo service that could do that. So just use that creative thinking to bring everybody's business involved.
Rob Jones of the Migration Gallery suggested that there are many different groups and media outlets that are attempting to get the word out about the arts.
The need, and we were talking some on collaboration and marketing, and the the need for a central point of information, be it a map or a guide, and it can include everything. My wife and I were overwhelmed when we opened our gallery of how many people came to us and said, we've got a map. And it's listing everything on it. Pay $150 and you can be on that map. We got hit any number of times. So we knew that there are, or we know that there are, any number of maps out there. And we chose one or two that, yeah, we'll do that. And the same with guides. And so I'd love to see a central calendar, a central map, a guide. I can go to New York City and pick up the gallery guide. I know I'm going to do that. That's New York City. And Charlottesville has umpteen number of guides and maps. So, you know, I strongly believe in that, and follow up on what Kevin says, as far as an alliance or a membership group, I'm going to say PCA is that, and Maggie needs to be that, or is that. And over, certainly in the last 2 years, we personally feel that you've brought this up to tremendous levels to have meetings like this. I mean, the number of people in this room that I know are very, very few. And I've been at this for a number of years, and to have not met many of you is, I think, a crime. And I hope there is a central point, launching point, certainly could be this.
Eric Curran of the American Shakespeare Center said the current economic downturn could be seen as an opportunity to become a stronger community.
And the opportunity for collaboration in a place like Charlottesville is you've got PCA, you've got the economic development folks, and then you've got the Convention and Visitors Bureau. To present Charlottesville as an attractive sort of staycation destination for people from Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, and even further up the East Coast, these people are cutting back their trips to Europe. They're cutting back their trips to Disneyland. They're looking for a destination to come to. Charlottesville already has so much to work with. I challenge anyone here to come up with any city in Virginia that is more of an arts and cultural destination than Charlottesville. It's not Lynchburg. It's not Roanoke. Yeah? I mean, you know, we all smile at these things because everybody knows Charlottesville is for the arts and culture. So now how does Charlottesville take it to the next level? How does Charlottesville become like Taos or Portland, Maine, as that kind of destination? It seems like working these three groups, economic development, tourism, and PCA, is a very promising collaboration.
However, Morgan Mackenzie Perkins of the Sage Moon Gallery says the month-to-month concerns of small businesses can sometimes trump a willingness to build community.
It's very difficult to get collaboration. Kirby and I were just talking about what makes us so special is also what makes it difficult to get things done in Charlottesville. It's independent business owners. Most of them are working on a very, very slim budget, and it's hard, very hard, for them to focus on something that's going to be out months when they don't know if they're going to have the rent next month or this month. And so therein is the difficulty in trying to pull everybody together. And so what we were talking about was how can we create some kind of a an attractive situation for them that lets that helps them feel like if they participate in this, it's going to make their life better. Because that's really the only reason anybody does anything is to make their life better. It's really hard to have time to do everybody else's life. And I think that when we can come up with that kind of an understanding, and you know, listening to all of you with your ideas, there are a lot of things that you're talking about that are available already. And it's why don't people know about these things? You know, therein lies the secret is getting the word out. Because, you know, the Tourism Bureau works really, really closely with many people and with a lot of the businesses, with things coming into town. I congratulate them over and over with how they're able to bring things in and make it happen. So one of the things that, again, it gets back to that central location of information. And there's several of those. You can go onto the city's website. You can go on to many of the websites and you can find it. But how do you get the word out to the people that it's there for them to see?
Dabney Kerr suggested that the Piedmont Council of the Arts should evolve into an organization that can play a leadership role in building not only a creative community, but a stronger one.
Maybe really working together to actually assess what the situation is with all the different neighborhoods, different industries, and to Elizabeth's point about diversity. You know, if you on the street, you can really see the widening divide between the haves and the have-nots here in Charlottesville. And the arts can improve literacy, they can improve any number of ways the community. So perhaps an economic development plan that really is able to synthesize the data that exists, but also involve senior public officials, people from academia, from hospitality, from all the different industries that all have a stake in this community. And I think if you're able to incentivize and do things, you know, whether it is coupons, collaborations, you know, someone gets payback at some point in the, you know, from A to B.
McGuffey Art Center artist Nancy Bass's group came up with much the same idea.
One organization may be a combination of economic development and Piedmont Council of the Arts to come together and create an organization that structures publicity, marketing, maybe an arts calendar with festivals that tie in all of these disparate organizations and businesses and create a cultural calendar.
David Hopper, operations manager for the Virginia Film Festival, pointed out that there is a dichotomy between individuals creating and organizations that need to meet the bottom line.
You have performing arts organizations who are, by definition, market-led. So if it wasn't something that anybody wanted to see, we wouldn't do it in the first place. And then you have the community, which is creator-driven, where you're trying to bring people in to create a market for something which is a given. And those two are very difficult to marry in any sort of cohesive publicity scheme unless we were going to concentrate on the notion of selling Charlottesville as an arts vacation, just pitch up and see what's happening, which would means a calendar or something like that would be hopeful. But it does put it within the sort of the tourism urban development remit as much as to do with publicizing events.
PCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer responded to the many calls for her organization to increase its role in the community by describing its current outreach activities.
I just want to share three little things. Almost every group mentioned the need for a centralized place for information, and you may not know about it, and you may not like it if you know about it, but PCA has about 15 people, including staff and volunteers, working to maintain charlottesvillearts.org. And on that website, we have over 500 arts events a month, probably closer to 1,000. And that means it's difficult to look at because there's a lot there, I know. But if you start being exclusive, you run into issues. So we want to keep everything up there, and we want to make it accessible. And the way you do that is by looking at the daily view of the calendar or by searching by genre. If you spend some time on the calendar, you can figure it out. And anyone who's ever tried to develop a calendar for their organization or for the community knows that it is very, very difficult. But I wanted to make sure all of you knew about that resource and know that we're putting time and energy into it, and we hope to continue to do so if we have the funding to. And we welcome your feedback on what we can do without a large sum of money to improve it. So please link to the website on your organization's websites. Share the websites with your friends. Also spend some time looking at the blog on the website, where we can highlight things a little bit more in depth with photographs and links, and you get more than you would just get on the calendar view. And we also have an arts opportunities page where we try to share resources. What organization has a call for entry, who's looking for volunteers or jobs. Not trying to recreate what else is out there in the community through the Center for Nonprofit Excellence, but looking at just art-specific opportunities. So keep that in mind. You may also receive the arts in your inbox, which we send every 2 weeks. And we hope that if it's something that people like and find is useful, we could send it more frequently, but we don't want to inundate. But that is a way that we can reach beyond our website to say, hey, these great things are going on. You should know about it. And whether you're a local or a visitor, you should support these programs, free or ticket-based. So I hope you know about all those things. And again, please tell us what you do and don't like about them. And then a couple other things that were discussed, and I'm not going to talk as much about them, were the idea of a planning process and whether a cultural planning process is something that would be useful. There are definitely precedents for that all over the country. They cost money. They usually involve experts that come in from out of town. And I'm sure that the economic development folks can tell us a little bit about the pros and cons of doing a process like that. And unfortunately, we don't have other city or county representatives here that I know about. But the last thing that I want to mention is a program that we have in the works called the Arts Access Project, which we are currently raising money for, and we hope that it will launch this year. But it's a project in which PCA will function as a liaison between the arts community, specifically the nonprofit arts community, and community members that have limited means, whether it's age, disability, income, location, et cetera, and looking at how we can function as a vehicle through which people that here are not experiencing the arts that are at their disposal and often free can get to the things that they want to get to and understand that it's there for them whenever they want it, not just when we coordinate an activity to get them there. So if you want to learn more about that, email me or call me or talk to me after the program. And now I want to open it back up to you to come up with some synthesizing thoughts. What are the sort of bottom line issues that we've developed? What do we need to walk away with on our notepads that we tell people we learned in the conversation today, that we come back together and talk about either formally or informally?
Again, Jessica Thayer.
Several different groups have said that they see your organization as being part of, I don't know how you want to say it, a brokerage house or a facilitator for this whole vision. And I don't know, we've all said that, but I don't know, is that something that, and EDC gets mentioned and so on, but is that something that you feel is a possible role for you, for your organization?
I definitely do. I have this sort of eternal realization that we don't have the resources to do much more than we're doing. We're already sort of busting at our seams with volunteers and I'm a part-time director, Kate's part-time, so, I want to do more, and I think that someday we will be able to, but we've got a ways to go, and I think the conversation and getting information and understanding what the community's priorities are what we need to do now before we have the resources to really act on them effectively.
Eric Curran said that from his perspective from over the mountain, Charlottesville had much going in its favor.
Seems to me like Charlottesville should stand tall. When it comes to this issue in particular, if no other issue, Charlottesville is arts town, arts and culture town, you know? And all of you should be proud of that. And it seems like the city should be pouring money into PCA.
They do.
Even
they
more
do.
Than they
Thank
do.
You, Eric.
Yeah, the city and the county both support
us very
much. To
help you promote that message in the town, everybody in Charlottesville should be an ambassador that we love the arts. And this is a town where people who love the arts come to live. They come from all over America, all over the world, and tourists should come here to visit. But this is also not just a tourism message, it's also an economic development message, because all the industries you want to recruit also care about the arts. So it should be on all the economic development materials. It should be in the Daily Progress on a daily basis, what's happening in the arts these days, and not just the arts calendar, but what's happening in the arts and economic development. what new software company came to Charlottesville because they were so psyched about all the arts offerings for their employees. This should be a conversation that everybody in Charlottesville is having around economic development.
Sherry Smith of Lander Creative and the Artisan Center of Virginia.
Well, I think what Eric is really touching on, too, is finding the voice for this in our community. And right now, you know, I don't think there's any problem with saying that economic development really supports the arts in this community, but I think having that one voice, when Rob's pointing out that there are numerous entrepreneurial calendars and maps and that kind of stuff out there, what if there was one voice for the arts that really connected with all the smaller voices for the arts, all the different types of arts, and with business? I think in the business community there is a disconnect right now. So if we could start to find out what is really essential to all of us here, and then we're able to present that with one voice, I think there would be a lot of strength in it. And I think then we would see a shift in our marketing. I think you would start to see increased funding because I, like everybody in here, feel like you're the likely candidate to be that arts component voice that we need at the table in these discussions with tourism, bringing in the outside dollars, with economic development, encouraging the businesses to support all of this. So I think we need to figure out a way amongst us now to do whatever we have to support that voice.
Rob Jones of Migration Gallery suggests that the voice can be supported by finding a way to sustain dialogues, such as the Piedmont Council of the Arts Creative Conversation Series. Part of the problem is a lack of media coverage.
Our newspaper has lost an arts critic and hasn't replaced him, or her, actually. And I don't know if there's, you know, enough intelligent discussion of what's going on in the arts. I'm not overly familiar with a good sense of an intelligent discussion of what is happening in Charlottesville or this Central Virginia region on a consistent basis. I'm not talking one or two articles here and there.
Maggie Guggenheimer concluded the conversation on marketing Charlottesville as a creative community by reminding participants that the PCA keeps a calendar at its website, charlottesvillearts.org. PCA will hold their next creative conversation in April. This podcast has been a service of the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit our site at cvillepodcast.com to sign up using Twitter, email, or any other way you want to get a hold of us. I'm Sean Tubbs, and thanks for listening.